Thank you, Gladys, and thank you, Rosie. This song was written right after Charlie Kirk was shot. And that's kind of, I guess you'd say, one side of the political spectrum that is that he supported or was for. But the message of the song can apply to so many different things that we are seeing. It could have been written this week. It's just talking about what we can do to help make the world a better place and to change that division, the strife that we see going on. It's called Make Heaven Crowded.
Sinning on, I ain't no saint. And I bit my tongue and said that it ain't my place. I've kept Jesus in the backseat, but I can't any longer. After what we all saw last week, I can't help but wonder, what if churches had a longer line outside, like all them bars on Friday nights? And what if people prayed for people who ain't on their side? And what if good ran off the bad, them streets of gold up there'd be packed? We could've been better than we found it. We make heaven crowded. What would the headlines and TV men say if we didn't give them no bad news to break? We quit throwing punches and held out a helping hand. Devil couldn't touch us. No, he wouldn't stand a chance if all them churches had a longer line outside and all them bars on Friday nights. What if people prayed for people who ain't on their side? What if good ran off the bad, them streets of gold up there'd be packed? What if it would be a lot better than we found it? If we make heaven crowded, what if we all talk to Jesus like a friend and talk to our friends about him and didn't stop till we got everybody in? What if churches had a longer line outside, like all them bars on Friday nights? What if people prayed for people who ain't on their side? What if good ran off the bad, them streets of gold up there detached? When we could be the reason that somebody found it. We make heaven crowded. We make heaven crowded.
Our scripture is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16 and through 18. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceedingly and eternal weight for glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal.
Pastor Oakes is our from the conference office. He wears a lot of hats. So it's a blessing to have him with us and his wife this morning. Thank you for that children's story. That was awesome.
Thanks, Bob. I really enjoyed that special music. I'd love to get the words so I can really get into it. And I like the children's story too. And I don't have to just say that. You know, I'm gonna walk away for a second and put something on the screen. And I think this will do it. There we go. Okay, so I don't want to spend a lot of time on talking about trust services. I'm here to preach the word, amen? But I do have some good stuff I want to share with you. And hey, just in case you don't know who we are, Gladys and I, we lived in Wisconsin our entire life, except for a few years in Berrien Springs, Michigan. And we have done our pastoral ministry all in Wisconsin. Here, can you say amen?
Amen.
And I hope you can say amen. Like, huh, I wish you would have went to Michigan or somewhere. All in, you know, almost 30 years of pastoral ministry and then working for Trust and Service, Trust Services. And then most recently, since last August, ministerial, taking part of the ministerial role. And so enjoying all of that. And I do want to take a moment, and you can tell your pastor, you cannot tell him, I don't care, but I love your pastor, Pastor Drew. And he's an incredible pastor, incredible man. I find him a person of integrity. And he has a sense about ministry that is very nice to see. And so I think, you know, I think we're blessed to have him in this district. And I've already been told don't try to move him or anything. That's not up to me solely anyway. So, but I would never. That was never ever even on the radar. So, let me transition back to Trust Services. All I'm going to say is on the screen you can see. It sounds like a cliche. It is a cliche, but there's always truths in a cliche. And the cliche here is, of course, we're supporting the causes that you care about. And so when I talk to you about a trust or a will or something like that, I'm not trying to tell you what we want you to do, but we want to hear what you want to do, what God is leading you to do. And so we help our members and at the conference, we help our members and friends of the church with their wills, trusts, anything, charitable gift annuities, whatever you can think of, we can probably help you with, and just someone to talk to, maybe get some ideas. So I want you to know about that, and I also wanted to tell you that we have a new website, if you're not aware of it. Last year, our website just disappeared, and we could get very little of it back, and so we have a brand new website. I think through it all, it's a good thing because it's a wonderful website. You can learn a lot about wills and trusts and things like that, estate planning for your family. You can find out how that all works before you ever talk to an attorney or if you talk to me. You can already find out about those things. So our website, I also want to let you know that we have a brand new not only the website, but a newsletter called Your Legacy. And so you can go there and sign up for the newsletter and get all sorts of really good information about estate planning and financial things that are going on in the United States and in our state as well. So it's been very, very helpful. You know, there's been a lot of changes in the tax situation this year. And you can go on there and you can find out, you know, what are the changes and so forth. You can do that online too, but you can go right here. It's all right there. And one of the things that I just wanted to tell you about, I can't quite see that. Oh, yeah. So it's about a section in our website. Some people don't really want to go to a lawyer. They don't want to talk to me. They think I'm not friendly or something. And so they want to create their own will online. And you can go to this, our new website. It's not monitored. We don't know what you're putting in there. It's confidential. It's easy to use. And you can't create a trust, but you can create a will for you and your family. And sometimes people use this if they're traveling, like I've had people say, well, I'm traveling and I need a will, like before I go, it's probably important for me to do that. And so you can do that. And it's very simple. It's very simple to find there online. And of course, gave you a handout. You can learn a little bit about us and how to contact me. I'm here to serve. Whatever hat I'm wearing, Bob, it's a serving hat. And so that's what I'm here for, to help. And I love this. You know, our mission is helping God's people put the crowning act on a lifetime of faithful stewardship. And I want to help you do that. If I can be a blessing to you, please let me know. And I just I guess I didn't put it on there, but I just want you to know, because believe it or not, not too long from now, camp meeting is taking place, right? At the campgrounds. I probably won't be here before that takes place, so I want to let you know that you can make an appointment with me to meet me at the camp meeting. And I meet beginning on the first Sunday all the way through Friday afternoon, so of the next week. So I'd be happy to meet with you, answer any of your questions, try to help you. And of course, so if you want to talk to me, I don't really talk that much about planned giving on Sabbath, but if you are interested, I totally get that. I have a card in my pocket. I'll give you one. We can get together. Okay, so the next thing, now I need to transition over to what you probably came for this morning as you came to worship. I don't know what this is saying. There we go. The preaching of the word from the beginning. Let's start at the beginning. It's a good place to start. So the sermon's titled, as you can see, A Matter of Perspective. And I have a question to ask you. Is everything okay?
Yep.
All right. But you know, before that question, let's just have a short prayer, okay? Dear Father, we're grateful for all the blessings that we have at your hands. And Father, as we open up your word, we pray for a heart and a mind that is open to hear your voice. And give us a heart to respond to your word. Take me out of the way. Help people to see you and to see your word and what you're saying to them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So do you remember when you were young? Now that's not a trick question. But do you remember when you were young and you were sitting in front of the TV and you remember mom would say something like, what? You're too close. Don't sit so close to the TV. Why? Because? Yeah, that's right. And she had a point. Mom had a point, don't you think? And today, many are learning all about it. It's not a TV screen so much as it is a what? Computer screen, right? And so many people, in fact, some of us do, we are on the computer for business, or we're on that little computer that we carry with us all the time. And we're learning about it not because of the TV screen, but because more of a computer screen. And if your job has something to do with a computer, you know what I'm talking about. After a while, as you look at the screen, what happens? Do you know kind of what happens? Your eyes get a little blurry. I'm seeing lots of people saying, yeah. Your head gets a little foggy. And you may not even realize it, but you're blinking less. And the tension is building. And believe it or not, you are becoming less efficient because of it. And all because you're staring at that computer screen, maybe not as close as this gentleman, but you're looking at the computer screen up front. Now, experts have come up with a simple solution to the problem. And maybe you've heard about it. It's called 20-20-20. Have you ever heard of 20-20-20? And my wife has, because I've spoken before about this. And what it says, if your job involves staring at something, let's say close all day, your computer, your phone, all day long, and your eyes are getting blurry, every 20 minutes, you should take about 20 seconds to look about 20 feet away. Okay? So it's pretty 20, 20, 20. And by the way, doing this resets your vision process, and it helps you to focus again on your computer. And I know that it works because I use it all the time. And at home, I have a home office at home. And that's where you have home offices at home. And I'm looking out, and every now and again, I gotta watch the squirrels going across my back fence, or jumping on the bird feeder or something like that. But you might want to try it, 20-20-20. But I really want to talk about a related thing that's it's a spiritual principle, using the idea of vision and a perspective. So when you keep your eyes focused on that which is in the distance, what did we say? It helps you to keep your eyes focused on that which is close, right? Looking in the distance helps you with something that's at close. But what does that mean? Well, that's what we're going to talk about. And I want you to let's first listen to Paul's words in our passage today, which, by the way, the young lady who did the scripture did a wonderful job. Thank you. In verse 16, chapter 4, verse 16, therefore we do not lose heart. The New Living Translation says we don't give up, but we don't lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed, what does it say? Day by day. Boy, you guys know your passages. That's great. By the way, it's up there. Okay. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us, I'm going to keep you from that now, for our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is what? Unseen, since what is seen is temporary, church, but what is unseen is eternal. I love that passage. And it's one of those fix your eyes on Jesus passages in the New Testament. But in that little phrase in the English, fix your eyes, there's a play on words there. It's not in the Greek or anything like that, nothing like that. But I want to emphasize in the English, because Paul says that we fix our eyes. And of course, we know what that means. That means to focus on a particular thing, right? I'm fixing my eyes on the clock on the back and noticing that time is going by really fast. But you could also say that when we look where we should be looking, we're actually fixing our eyes, right? You're not just focusing on something, but we're fixing our eyes. In other words, we're making our spiritual vision a little better. And it's just like that 20-20-20 rule helps those who've been staring too long at the computer screen up close. You look away, and what happens? It clears up the blurriness, right? And so in the same way, when we fix our eyes exclusively on that which is good, we fix our eyes, we repair, we improve our spiritual vision. And when our long-distance vision is good, we're able to see clearly that which is immediately in front of us, such as our problems. Anybody here got problems? You know, and we're able to more effectively tend to the tasks at hand. And by that I mean today, focusing our eyes on those things that really matter. You know, it's hard to distinguish what really matters today. There's so much going on. Because if we're looking where we should be looking, and if we're seeing what we should be seeing, then we will not. In the words of Paul, we will not, we cannot lose heart. And Paul says again in our passage in verse 18, he says, so let me read it again. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary and what is unseen is eternal. So let's look at really quickly three unseen, and yet I'm going to call them eternal priorities, where we should be focusing our eyes, okay? This is my perspective, okay? And I hope that you will hear something that will help you with your perspective. Because if we're focusing on these three priorities that I'm going to share with you this morning, We're not going to lose heart. We're not going to give up when the storms of life are raging about us. And I've heard some things just in this morning. A lot of us are facing things that are pretty difficult. We're going to stay strong. So let's look at these three priorities. And I'm pretty sure you can guess the first one. First priority that we should fix our eyes upon Jesus. Now, to me, this one is obvious, and probably to you, because it's like, well, Bobby, it's like the teacher who asks a question in vacation Bible school or in class, and if you guess the answer is Jesus, you got a pretty good chance of getting it right. Amen? And I would, you know, when I gave little devotionals to the kids at school, I really miss that. I do that once in a while now, but not very often. And I tell the kids, don't worry if you get it wrong. Whatever answer, if you can't think of an answer, just say Jesus, and you'll probably get it right. And the kids would do that. But in the Christian life, dear folks, when your first answer to every problem you face is Jesus, I can tell you that you have 100% chance of getting it right every time. Amen? Unfortunately, what do we want to focus on? We want to focus on our problems, right? And we want to focus on our troubles, on all of the things that were going on in our life right now. Because, and by the way, that's not unusual. Okay, I live in the same world that you live in, because we know that our troubles, our difficulties cannot be avoided. And we know that they have to be dealt with. But what happens if we stare at our troubles too long and too close? It's like staring at that proverbial computer screen up close. And before we know it, our vision and our spiritual vision becomes blurred. But when we look away from our problems and we focus our eyes on Jesus, we begin to see our situation in an entirely different clarity, right? Now, in the book of Hebrews, the author is talking about Moses in chapter 11. And he's talking about Moses' courage as he leads the children of Israel out of Egypt. And this is what he says about Moses. It's interesting. He says, Moses persevered because he saw him who is what? Invisible. Now, that's kind of like an oxymoron, right? How do you see someone who is invisible? Well, everybody knows Hebrews chapter 11 is the what chapter? It's the faith chapter. He saw him who is invisible by faith. And then he says in chapter 12, verse 2, just a few verses later, he says, let us fix our eyes on whom? Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Now, I don't throw a lot of Greek out there, but I happen to know that this word, fix your eyes on Jesus, the word in the Greek is aparazo. And I heard someone give a very interesting explanation of this word aparazo. So, you know, Paul says, fix your eyes. Now, he's not talking about just looking at Bob and then looking away, or looking at that plant and then looking over here. He's talking about staring, right? Staring down something, right? Fixing your eyes on whom? Jesus. But this guy suggested that this word is likened unto someone. He was thinking about, what do you call those? It's just sports that are just outrageous, right? And for a while there, one of the most outrageous sports was to get in an airplane and bring your parachute with you. And you get in the plane and you take off. And I don't know how high he got to go. But you get up there and then someone, your friend, throws your parachute out the door. And then you have to jump and catch it. Anybody want to do that? Next Sunday, we're getting together. Okay, I want your name afterwards. I won't be with you, but I want your name. Yeah, so I just want to ask you a question, and we know the answer, right? Do you think that person is thinking of anything else other than getting a hold of that parachute? Do you think so? Do you think they're wondering, I wonder what Gladys going to have for supper tonight when we get home? Or, you know, I wonder what the stock market's going to... Nobody's thinking about those things. They only have one thing on their mind. That's the word aparazo. When Paul says, fix your eyes on Jesus, that's what he's talking about. Looking at Jesus as if your life depended on it, and we all know it does. In more ways than one sometimes. And he writes, he says, as we look at the verses leading up to today's text, we see that Paul emphasizes this idea of Jesus above everything else. In fact, in chapter 4, verse 5, he says, for what we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord. And that's what everybody that comes up here should be preaching, right? Not ourselves, but about Jesus. Because, he says in verse 14, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you to himself. Isn't that good news this morning? So when your problems loom large, dear family, step aside and look to Jesus. We need to develop a discipline. We should always be thinking about Jesus, but a discipline when our problems are right in front of us, we need to stop and look at Jesus. Amen? To think about him, focus on his ministry, focus on his death and his resurrection, which is for us. Amen? Focusing on his life as a teacher and as a healer, focusing on his love and his mercy, his kindness and compassion and grace. You know, the Bible says that Jesus, you know this verse, he is the author and the finisher of our faith. And yet sometimes, even within the church, we direct our attention to everything but his presence. People are talking about everything but Jesus. And I've thought about this many times over the years. And I thought mostly in my own context. We know that Jesus is with us. If I was to say, is Jesus with us, what would you say? Some of you are not sure. What would he say? What would you say? You would say, absolutely, he's with us, right? And yet, sometimes, if we're honest, we don't give him our attention, right? And do you ever, I don't know if you've ever walked up to a group of people, we're having a discussion, you know, and you want to walk up and you want to kind of join the discussion just by, you know, just stand there long enough and somebody will say hello and, hey, how you doing, Bill, that kind of thing. I don't know if you've ever done that and nobody's acknowledged that you're there, right? And I thought to myself, you know, I don't take it personal because I know people are in their conversations and so forth, but I wonder if Jesus feels like that sometimes. We know he's there, but we don't acknowledge the fact that he's there. And I think we need to think about there at that. And sometimes I wonder if Jesus, you know, is looking at me and he's waving his hands and he's saying, hey, Bill, I'm over here, you know. And I wonder if he does that when we're going about our day. Every day of your life, you and I need to learn to set our problems aside. And how does the song go? Do you know the song, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus? Let's try an experiment. Let's sing it a cappella, okay? Just the first verse. Help me out now, folks. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Amen. Do you think you sounded beautiful? You did. Paul said that he does not lose heart because he stays focused on the eternal. Amen. So fix your eyes on Jesus. Number two, fix your eyes on those whom you are called to serve. Am I forgetting to do this part? Yes, I have been, haven't I? There we go. At the beginning of the chapter, Paul says in verse 1, he says, therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. My friends, we have a ministry. And Paul says that we have a work to do as believers. And that doesn't allow us any room to lose heart. And I want you to notice that when Paul says, by the way, he says, we have this ministry. He's not talking about an organization. Like you think in today's modern vernacular, you know, what ministry are you a part of? He's not talking about that. He wasn't talking about, he wasn't in the process of building a ministry empire. There was no ministry headquarters, no marketing team, no administrative staff, no product line to promote, as in, when you send us this love gift, we will send you this commemorative plaque or something like that. Paul was not thinking like that. Paul's ministry was not about an organization. By the way, he was organized. He belonged to the church. He was part of the church. But do you know what Paul's ministry was? It's very simple. Paul's ministry could be added in this picture right here. What was his ministry? People. Paul was all about people. And everything Paul did was for the people. And that, excuse me. And that's why he said that we do not preach about ourselves. We don't focus on ourselves, but we focus on Jesus Christ as Lord. And he says, as ourselves, your servants, that's us, servants for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, every now and then, here's the passage, by the way. Every now and then, I see ministries, particularly churches, because become all about the church or become all about the organization. Usually it's a strong leader at the beginning, at the head of the organization. And I see how they preach themselves, so to speak. And of course, would you agree with me if I said the church never saved anybody? God organized the church, that's for sure. That's not what I'm talking about. But the church doesn't save people. Jesus saves people. And that's why we focus on what Jesus can do and not on what we can do. And so I like it when I drive by a building and there's a sign out in front of the church. Maybe it's in a mall or something. And it says, such and such church worships here. And I like it because I think that they get it. I think it's an important distinction. The building is not the church. Can you say amen? The people are the church. You are the church. What time do people arrive here about on Sabbath morning, Bob? 9 o'clock? Yeah, they're too late if they get here at 11. Yeah, no, you're never too late. But 9 o'clock, right? And so I would suggest to you that the church arrived this morning at 9 a.m. this morning. And after, when I'm finally done preaching and you get to go eat something and then we go home and we say goodbye, and we leave, the last person leaves the parking lot, I want to suggest to you that the church has left the building, right? And now the church is out in the community doing the work of ministry to the people that God has called them. That is my understanding of the church. And the work that God has called you to do, no matter what it is, it involves serving people. And the ultimate pass or fail in the work that we do is not how much we accumulate, but it's in the hearts that we reach by the grace of God and the lives that we are able to help change and point to Jesus. And Paul went as far as to say that he was willing to endure all kinds of hardships because the people that he was called to serve were worth it. Jesus thought it was worth it to come to this planet, right? And we have to ask ourselves, is it worth it for us to serve the people in the community that we're in? And Paul is talking about all the hardships that he's facing. And what does he say in verse 12? He says, death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. What is he saying? He's saying, I give myself so that others can have life in Jesus. Amen? And this is what he's talking about. And he goes on to say in verse 15, all of this is for your benefit. Paul says, everything I do is for the people, for their benefit, so that they can come to know Jesus. And you don't lose heart, my dear friends, when you remember that God has given you and I a ministry. We are called to serve others. And of course, sometimes the people you serve, have you noticed that sometimes you serve people or help people who are not fully aware of how your serving is helping them? Have you noticed that? And your efforts sometimes are not appreciated. Have you ever noticed that? And but may I remind you very gently, may I remind all of us that we're not working for appreciation. We are working, as Paul says, for their benefit. We're working for their salvation. Amen? And when we get to heaven, it's going to be so worth it, right? And no one understands this idea about not understanding, you know, our motives more than parents. Sometimes young people, really young people, don't fully grasp the significance that parents, their sacrifices that moms and dads make for their benefit. Eventually they do, but sometimes they don't. But we don't serve others so they will appreciate us and pat us on the back. That's not why we do it. We serve others to benefit their lives, and that applies to everyone that we are called to serve. And this is why Paul says in Timothy, let me see if I can catch up to myself. And he says, therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. My friends, how can I lose heart when I and you have been blessed with such a meaningful ministry to serve other people? So fix your eyes on Jesus. Fix your eyes on the call that God has given you to serve others. And then finally, fix your eyes on God's ongoing work in your life. Another passage that you're well aware of is Philippians 1:6, that God who has begun a good work in you will what? He will be faithful. I love your version. He'll be faithful to complete it, right? What God has started in your life, dear Christian, God says, I'm going to finish it. Can you say amen? In fact, he starts that passage. We hardly ever read the first couple of words. That passage starts in the Greek. It starts with, I am confident. And Paul says, I'm confident that the God who began a good work in you will complete it unto the day of salvation. I want to ask you, are you confident that God will complete what he started in you? I'm not saying confident in yourself, but confident that God will do it. Amen? And that brings me hope. And it begins when we receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and it continues until the day that we see Jesus face to face. And so, my friend, be confident. Don't lose sight of everything that God is doing in your life. And Paul says in verse 1 of our chapter, in verse 1, he says, through God's mercy, we have this ministry. You know, Paul understood why he was a Christian. He understood why he was an apostle. He understood why God called him to reach others as a missionary. It wasn't because Paul was such a great guy. By the way, I mean, he was holding the coats of those who were stoning somebody, right? He wasn't such a great guy. No, he said, Paul said that he was a chief of what? Sinners. He knew, and he understood that his life had significance only because he was a sinner transformed by the grace of God. And so we have this ministry because God is merciful to us. And maybe you can look back at the person that you used to be. Do you ever do that? Don't hang out there, but sometimes you look back at the person that you used to be and you see the person that you are today and you say, Pastor, I'm not perfect. Well, I know you're not perfect. And you know you're not perfect. And everybody around you knows you're not perfect. That's not the point. But look at all the changes, my dear friends, that God has brought you through. Think of everything that God has done for you. You know, like the, you know, and I'm just kind of shortening this. I'm not what I want to be, but thank God that I'm not what I used to be. You know, we can say that as believers. And we can think about all of the victories that God has won through us. Victories over habits, victory over failures, victory through difficult battles. And when you follow Jesus, that's what happens. And I'm just going to skip a couple passages here because I want to hurry this on and get to the what I think is important for us right now. That's how God works in our lives. You know, we get knocked down. Isn't that true? Sometimes we get knocked down, but we get up again by the grace of God because there's no knocking out God's people as long as we're keeping our eyes on Jesus. And he says, for though the righteous fall, how many times?
Seven.
They rise again. Amen? As long as we can keep our eyes focused on Jesus. And, you know, when you're tempted to start waving the white flag, I don't know if you've ever gotten to that point, take a look back and see all that God has done for you. Focus on Jesus, and you'll certainly be able to say, yes, there were times that I was at my wit's end. Have you ever felt that way, church? But we never had a reason to lose hope, amen? And we knew that we would never be abandoned by God, and we were living in God's power, and that's the key, not in our own. So before you start thinking about losing hope, focus on all that God has done in your life. Focus on the mercy that he has shown you through his son, Jesus Christ. Focus on the protection that he has given you through every moment. And then, here's the best part, focus on all the promises that is yet to come, that are yet to come. And I love this passage, and I think for those who have lost loved ones and are struggling through things, as we look for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our Savior, right? He's coming back. And he says, for the Lord himself, you know this verse, he will descend from heaven with a what? And the voice of an archangel and the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then those who are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be. You know what my favorite word, verse, or favorite word in that verse is? Together. We're going back together with those that we love. Amen? And I just love that. Paul says, we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us up with Jesus. So every one of us here today, I'm pretty sure, can say my life has been tough. You ever feel that way? My life's been tough. Well, that's because everybody's life is tough. Sometimes we look at people, and I don't know if you've done this, and say, well, they never have any problems. Life is not tough for them. Don't you believe it? Life is tough at times for everybody in this world. They have challenges. Everybody has challenges. But we can say with all certainty, if we are a follower of Christ, we can say, look how far that I've come. Look at all that God has done for me. Look at where he's leading me, what I have to look forward to. And what can I say? But I'm not going to turn back. Can you say that, dear friends? I'm not turning back. I'm not turning back now. Now, I mentioned Vacation Bible School a little bit earlier. Anybody here attend Vacation Bible School? Kids, have you been to Vacation Bible School? Older kids, have you gone to Vacation Bible School? I've been to so many. And I'm going to cut off a page here and just get right to it. You know, in Vacation Bible School, I learned something. Maybe you learned it too. It was an acronym, and it's JOY, right? Have you ever seen JOY? And it stands. Each one of those letters stand for something, and we would teach the kids this. And so J, of course, represented Jesus, right? Kids always remember Jesus. And then the O would be serving others, and then the third would be yourself, right? But only in the context of what God's doing. In other words, allowing the Holy Spirit to work in your life. Joy. And my dear friends, if all that you can see today is today, if all you can see is the problems that are right in front of you, if all that you have, that's all that you're going to face. You're going to face nothing but the futility of life, and I don't want that to happen in your life. And you won't see the treasure that God has for you, because he says that we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Who is the treasure? It's Jesus. And he dwells within us. And if you are just looking at all of your problems, you're going to miss the treasure. But if you choose to look at the unseen, as the passage that Paul shares, if you look deep into the distance, you are going to fix your vision. God's going to help you to keep your eyes on you, on him. Well, God bless you. Thank you for being gracious, not stepping out, even though it's 12:15. I don't know what your pastor does. He probably does like 25-minute sermons. But it is so good to be here with you folks. And I think we're going to continue our worship by singing our closing song. Is that what we do, Bob, at this point? So let's turn to our closing song. And you'll never guess what it is. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for hearing our prayer, answering our prayer this morning to be with us as we opened your word, as we fellowshipped, as we listened to the stories and the songs, and we prayed together. Thank you, Father, for being here with us
And we pray that you'll go with us, be with us in our families, be with us at work, in school, wherever we are, in our homes. And Father, help us to keep our eyes on Jesus always. Help us to keep our eyes on the fact that you've called us to serve others. And Father, help us to remember that you're working in our lives and that you promise to complete what you have begun. Thank you, Father. Thank you for this church. Thank you for the leaders here. Thank you for the members. Lord, use us as a light in the Marshfield area, we pray. And Father, we pray that you will bless our potluck fellowship dinner time just now. Please bless the food. Thank you for taking care of us again, for those who have prepared it. And Father, may you bless our fellowship together. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.